Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Thanking God for this glorious day. And as our word says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I say it one more time. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And one for the Holy Spirit. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we have another do-over. Thanking God for the do-over, that he gave us another opportunity to be better than we were yesterday. And all I can say is, wow. Shout out to Prophetess Nalo and Elder Daryl for a magnificent time. Your harvest conference was everything that it should have been. It was awesome. And I just thank God for giving you the vision. And I shout out to Nalo's Nuggets on Facebook. Awesome, awesome ministry. And thanking my pastor and all of our heads, Pastor Jesse Herring and Pastor Paul Herring, for allowing us to be members and in their leadership team. Thanking you for just a marvelous, marvelous weekend. And to all of those that spoke, God used you all in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. I'll be probably talking about over the next few days, because if you missed it, you missed the move of God. All I can say is thanking God, because I went expecting and I got everything that I expected, which and more is all I can say. So shout out to, and I don't want to get the initials mixed up, so I'll just say shout out to Nalo, Prophetess Nalo and Elder Daryl. Thanking all of you guys for joining me this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. But before we get started today, I just want to take a minute for us to just take a praise break and a prayer moment, because we're going to praise God in advance that the missionaries that were kidnapped in Haiti will be returned safely, without scratch, without blemish, because they were doing the Lord's work. But we understand that the enemy is busy, and that greed and hardship are motivators for so much. And then some are just hatred and evil. And we understand that life is hard. But I pray for those that do the work of God, that go into the highways and byways, that go to places that nobody else would go. Not that many folks are on their way to Haiti to help anybody. And let's call it straight, many are not wanting them to come into our nations that are suffering and on the borders of our nations. Oh, no, you can't come in. Understanding that everything has a reason and a purpose. And also, there's an equal and opposite reaction for everything we do. We got to understand that God is in charge, but we got to lift each other up. And we got to quit being hateful Christians. And I know there's some that are going to say, oh, I can't listen to her anymore. But that's all right. If I'm just talking to myself, that's all right. Because we as men and women of God have got to start to love. And it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, because it's not the outside that's going up with God. It's not the outside that will be in the kingdom. It's not the outside that will be judged by God. It's the inside, that spirit that he has placed inside of us. And we each must understand we will be held accountable how we talk, how we speak, how we treat each other. Because it's not in you I live and move and have my being. It says in him I live, I move and have my being, not in me, not in you, but in God, in Christ Jesus, in him. So I pray, Father God, for our brothers and sisters, those that are doing work that you have called them to do, to be missionaries in the highways and byways, to be missionaries in every country, to be missionaries where many would not go. Lord God, you know they were there building an orphanage for children to have a place to lay their head. And Lord, I ask you to put a hedge of protection around them, oh God, to look over them and watch over them and not let any hurt, harm, or danger come to them. Let those missionaries be on their knees and convict them with prayer. Pray, hallelujah, for a harvest of kidnapper souls to be saved. Father God, for you are in charge of everything. You are in charge of the good. You are in charge of the bad, and you are in charge of the awful ugly. Because you are God, and you can do whatever you want. But we know that you love us, you created us, and you want what's best for us. So, Father God, I ask that John 14:14 word, where you said, whatever we ask. Lord God, we're asking for the safety of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're asking, Lord God, that you watch over them. We're asking, Lord God, that you keep them safe from all hurt, from all harm, from all danger, Father. But they are your children, just as we are. And you said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus, you said that. So, Jesus, in your name, we are asking for their safe return. In your name, we are asking that not one hair on their head, not any part of their body be violated in any way. Lord God, we're asking in your name, Jesus, our missionaries, and they are trusting in you. Protect the children, oh God. Protect your children that are with them. And Lord, we're asking you to bring them home safely. And that as they come home, that there will be some that will be convicted. Lord God, let not one of the kidnappers be able to sleep. Let not one of the kidnappers be able to eat. Let not one of the kidnappers be able to even speak anything vile coming out of their mouth. Lord God, we're asking you to vex their spirits, that they will let the missionaries go. They will know, touch not God's anointed, and do their his prophets no harm. They will understand that there is a might bigger than any gun. There is a might bigger than any stick. There is a might bigger than anything anyone could ever bring for God's people, because God, you are in charge. You are a Father, and you love us. So, Lord God, again, I lift up the name of Jesus today. And I say, Savior, we are calling on your name for salvation for the kidnappers and freedom for the kidnapped. And that's not just in Haiti, that's all over this world, where you have sent your missionaries and your evangelists. And there are those that do not want to hear the word, that will try to silence the word. Lord God, we lift up the word today, asking you to increase, Father, as we decrease. Asking you, Lord God, to be in the midst of everything we are doing. For your word says, when two or three gather in your name, you will be in the midst. Father God, we're asking you to be in the midst this morning. Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And Lord God, I give this word and lift it up and put it at your feet, asking you, Lord God, increase as I decrease. Get from here, Father. Your word's not mine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who truly is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. this is Sunday, and this is Psalms and Proverbs and our New Testament word today. And as you know, we are in 1 Thessalonians. So we will have Psalms and then 1 Thessalonians and then Proverbs. We'll have actually Psalms, Proverbs, 1 Thessalonians. And as you know, we do 3 days on Friday, and we do 3 days of lessons on Sunday. And on Friday, we were in the book of Jeremiah. Just wanted to hit a couple of things that were life lessons in Jeremiah. And then we'll go into our psalm. And in Jeremiah 15:16, the word said, and this is from Dr. Stanley, life lesson, it says, your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God. And it says this, and I love this word from Dr. Stanley. He said, God invites us to spend daily time with him in his word, not because it provides us with spiritual bread. And we're going to go over to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 4. And verse 4. Matthew 4, verse 4, and it says this, he answered, it is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus is speaking here, and he's being tempted by the devil. That wicked, sneaky snake is trying to tempt him, and he's telling him. Now, we're going to go up to the first part. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Then the tempter approached him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Putting that word in context. Tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus politely said, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We got to use the word of God as our weapon. And as Jeremiah says, your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God. And as Dr. Stanley says, God invites us to spend daily time with him in his word, not just because it provides us with spiritual bread, but because as a reflection of him, it gives us joy. Does it give you joy? It does. Y'all know I get giddy for Jesus. I get giddy for the word of God. I love what I do. I love this word. I love it. I love reading the word of God. I love teaching the word of God. I just love the word of God. And the word of God will come in your heart and your mind and your spirit just as you need it. I ask God daily, Lord, help me remember what I read. Help me remember verses and places and what to say and when to say it. Come behind my teeth. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. And this is a word that touched my heart. And then we're going to get into our word for today. And this is also from our lesson on Friday, because we didn't get a chance to get into the life principles and life lessons from Dr. Stanley. But this one is for 15 and 19 of the book of Jeremiah. And verse number 19 says, therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will bring you back. You shall stand before me. If you take out the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you, but you must not return to them. And when I read that, I thought about the conference I went to this weekend. And the one thing that Prophetess Nalo and Elder Daryl talked about was the harvest out of Matthew chapter 13, where it talked about the wheat and the tares, 24, I think it's verse 24 to 30, and how the enemy sows the tare within the wheat, but you can't pull it out because that tar underneath is holding everything down. The ground is holding everything down, so it's all combined. And the only way it comes up is when it's all harvested and the tare goes into the fire, and the wheat, of course, goes to the table for bread. But we know that we have the bread of life, and if we are the wheat, we will be at his table. He will be at our table. We will join together as wheat in the kingdom. So anyway, what it says, if you take out the precious from the vow, you shall be as my mouth. We got to be precious taken out from the vow. So watch what you say, how you say it, when you say it, because sometimes it's best just to be quiet and let God speak through you for someone that needs to hear a word from him. Because we can be so heavenly minded as Christians that we are no earthly good, because we are so up in the clouds that we are not taking time to enjoy the roses and the flower and the fragrance of a new morning, because we are forgetting, excuse me, we're not William Shatner going up into space at 90 years old. We are men, and we are on this earth. And most of us, let's call it straight, will not be able to afford to be on a JetBlue or whatever, the Amazon and the Elon Musk and the Virgin spaceships. We probably can't afford to go up into space for 30 seconds or 30 minutes and come back down. We don't have that money or that power. But I tell you this, we will go up one day for the dead in Christ shall rise. So when you sleep with Jesus, when you sleep, he will wake you up and take you with him one day. And let's get back into this word really quick, because I don't want to waste the time, or not waste the time. I don't want to lose my time that I have to get to our New Testament word. But it says this, and this is just a totalness for brokenness. And it says, someone once said, a soul is converted in a moment of time, but to become a saint takes a lifetime. Conversion happens instantly. Maturity takes many years. To bring us to maturity, God has to break us over and over again. And I don't know about you, but I've been broken so many times that I'm like, Lord, can you put me back together again? But understand, he is the potter, and I am the clay, and he can put me back together. And I'm thankful that I've been broken and put back together by God. But this is what Dr. Stanley says. Keep in mind that God uses brokenness to deepen your understanding in at least three ways. The first one, if you want to write this down, is this. You gain a new perspective of his mercy and provision. You develop a more complete and comprehension of yourself. And number three, your compassion and understanding for others' suffering grows. The Lord has one thing in mind for brokenness, spiritual victory. You will soon recover that. You will soon discover that only Jesus cured weaknesses and turned it into strength. Hope and honor, will you trust him to change your life? And that was just the crux of the word for this past Friday. And now we're going to get into our New Testament word and our song and proverb today. But I just had to get those in there because it just touched me because it was so on point. We all have been broken, and many of us broken many times over. But we give God thanks. We give God glory. We give God praise, because all things are going to work for our good when we trust in the Lord. So I say this morning, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and blessed to be children of God, because he did give you a do-over this morning. You have a do-over. If you listen to my voice, you got a do-over. Let's make today better than yesterday. And my yesterday was pretty doggone good. All I can say is thanking God over me. And I'm trusting God that they will come to fruition. So let's start in Psalms 118, verse 21. And we'll finish out Psalm 118 and go to Psalm 119. And when we go to Psalm 119, understand we're starting to get into the alphabet. This is the longest psalm in Psalms, the longest book, actually, the longest chapter in the Bible is Psalms 119. And it's 22 alphabets, so there's 22 sections, 8 verses each, that we will read every day for the next 22 days. So, and I believe that's how they did it in 8 verses each in our study word, but that's how we're going to do it. We're going to do it in 8 verses every day for the next 22 days. So get ready for Psalms 119 because it's going to change your life. That's all I can say. And so let's get into Psalms 118 verses 21 through 30. And it says this. Starting at verse 21, I will give thanks to you because you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builder rejected has become the cornerstone. This came from the Lord. It is wondrous in our sight. This is the day the Lord has made. And this is from, I believe I'm in the Holman's Christian Study Bible. It says, This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And, of course, in the New King James, it says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I like that we will be rejoice and be glad in it better because that is a demand, and that's we will. And I say that we will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, come on now. Do it. Rejoice in the Lord. And it says, let us rejoice and be glad. So it is a group effort, and it is a I will effort. So I will and let us. We all are going to rejoice in the Lord today and be glad in it. And then it goes on to tell us in verse 25, Lord, save us. We all need a save us in our word. Please grant us success. He who comes in the name of the Lord is blessed. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God and has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords by the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God. I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And we know that it's also his faithful love, but we know his mercy endures forever. And I'm going to go back really quick and read this word one more time because it does something to your heart that you know, that you know, that you know that God is in the midst of everything that is happening to you and with you, that he loves you so much. And I'm going to go over to, this is what Dr. Tony Evans said in his word for Psalms 118. And it says this. And starting at verse 21, how do you respond to answered prayer? Do you give vocal acknowledgement to God and glorify him so that others may be encouraged to trust him? Or do you take his blessings and provisions for granted? You know, and it's so awesome because these are some of the things that were spoken on yesterday and on Friday night. You know, we cannot take the provision that God gives us for granted, because I can tell you, I've suffered just like many of you in my life where I did not have what I needed, and I was praying to God for it. You know, I remember when my late husband and I got married, we didn't have anything. We didn't have a pot, and we didn't have a window to throw anything out of, and you fill in the blanks. But I tell you this, I learned how to do a whole lot with some Campbell's soup. I tell you something, Campbell's soup is the best thing since sliced bread, because you can take a can of any Campbell's soup and you can make a meal from it. You know, if you take chicken noodle soup, you can take chicken noodle soup, add a whole thing of vegetables, throw in some rice, put it all in the oven, and you got you a nice chicken and rice and noodle casserole. Come on now. And then if you want to, you know, now you put that in and throw in some extra spaghetti and throw in a little bit of fat chicken, you know, put some chicken breast underneath and put that soup on top. You can do some things. And let's not, we ain't going to even talk about cream of mushroom soup, what you can do with a cream of mushroom soup and what you can do. Come on now, tomato soup, you can make spaghetti. You can make any kind of casserole you can imagine with some tomato soup. You can do some things. You know, come on now. I take some tomato soup, throw some ground beef in it. You got sloppy joes. Hey, you throw some green pepper, onions, red pepper, and a little bit of the other colored peppers. Throw it all together, and you got you a real nice spaghetti. So, you know, you learn to do it what you got. You know, so many times we forget where we come from. Because we get a little something, and, you know, we think we got to have steak. You better go back to them cans of soup because you never know when you might need them. I'm going to tell you that. And as we continue, it says this. Dr. Evans tells us this in verses 22 to 26 of Psalms, uses a building metaphor to teach the important truth. The builders rejected a stone that God has selected in his sovereign providence. He ensured that this particular stone will become the cornerstone of a figurative building of his design. It would be the stone on which everything else would be aligned. This imagery is fulfilled by in Christ Jesus. And, you know, we don't have time today to go to Luke 20 and 17. But if you get an opportunity, write that scripture down and go to Luke 20 and 17. He is the Messiah sent by God to his people. But Israel's religious leaders rejected him and had him put to death. Nevertheless, God vindicated him, rising him from the dead to be the Lord of all. He is the cornerstone. Hallelujah. What a word. Thank you, Dr. Evans. And as we continue in our word this morning, we are going into Alpha, which is Psalms 119. And it says this, verses 1 through 8. How happy are those who blameless. How happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk according to the Lord's instruction. Happy are those who keep his decrees and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have commanded that your precepts be diligently kept. If only my ways were committed to keeping your statutes, then I would not be ashamed. When I think about all your commands, I will praise you with an upright heart. When I learn your righteous judgment, I will keep your statutes. Never abandon me. Praise the Lord. We got to ask God, Lord, don't take your presence away from me. I ask God daily, Lord, increase as I decrease, because we need God and we want God in our life. Don't walk away from what God has for you, because what God has for you is for you. And nobody can take it away. We got to walk in what God has for us. Trust in the Lord and rejoice in him daily. Just sometimes. I kind of pray today. And, you know, I love Prophetess Jenny when she spoke on yesterday. She keeps it real. And what she said is that little prayer. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Jesus wept. Amen. You know, we got to get into it. We got to pray. And we got to let God know we understand that he is the source of our strength and the strength of our life. Hallelujah. Proverbs 27, and we're going to go from verse 10. And I'm still coming out of the Dr. Evans Bible, and it's the Tony Evans Study Bible that I'm reading our scripture this morning. And it says this in verse 10 through verse 13. Don't abandon your friend or your father's friend, and don't go to your brother's house in your time of calamity. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. Be wise, my son, and bring my heart joy so that I can answer anyone who taunts me. A sensible person sees danger and takes cover. The inexperienced keep going and are punished. Take his garment, for he has put up security for a stranger. Get collateral if it is for foreigners. And, you know, going back over to King James, New King James, it says, do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better to is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. Just as Dr. Evans said, and just as the Word of God says, we got to understand, you got to get to know your neighbors. I know, I can be honest, there's neighbors, I don't know their name. I wave at them, they wave at me, and that's about it. We got to get to know the folks around us, because you never know when you might need each other. And it goes on to say in Proverbs 27:11-12, and I'm going to New King James, and also it's pretty much the exact same. It said, but in Tony Evans, it says, be wise, and it says, be wise. And in the one we're looking at, and I'm back in our study Bible, and it says this, my son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him who reproaches me. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. I don't want to be simple. I don't want to be punished by God because I wasn't listening. And it takes us, take the garment of him who is surety for a stranger and hold it in place when he is surety for a seductress. And in Dr. Evans, it says, when he is a foreigner, different. That's why you read more than one word. That's why you take more than one word. You know, because it says, take his garment, for he has put up security for a stranger. That's the same. And this says, get collateral if it is for foreigners. But in this, it says, hold it in pledge when he is surety for a seductress. You know, look at more than one. You know, when you read the Word of God, don't just say, well, what I read is gospel. Read more than one version. You know, read King James, read NLT, read NIV, read New King James. And I mean, honestly, when you read King James and New King James, they're pretty much very close to being the same. You know, except for one doesn't have them and thou, it has them, thee and those, you know, which make it a little easier to understand, which is why we use New King James in our word. But I tell you, read more than one. You know, you should have more than one Bible. You know, never just say, I'm just King James and I'm sticking on King James, to read other stuff. And read the commentary, read the study, get you some study Bibles. You know, I have women's study Bibles. I have a Hebrew and Greek study Bible. I have different kinds of study Bibles. I even have one which we have done on this show, which is a chronological Bible. And I tell you, everyone has a purpose and a reason. We got to stand and study the Word of God, because we are in the last evil days, and it will be the Word that will protect you. It will be the Word that will come to mind when you got to get out of the way. When you need to, as I say, you got to hide sometimes. And when you got to hide, hide. Don't go, yo, it's all good. No, hide. Get out of the way. God's got you covered. God loves us. We got to trust God in all that we are doing. You know, this is what it says. But you yourselves know, brethren. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. But you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and was spitefully treated at Philippi, as we know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. Again, the Word of God is important. Again, Apostle Paul has taken over and will be speaking for the rest of the show. And it says this, for our salvation did not come from error and uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. But neither at any time did we use flattery words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also has devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behave ourselves among you who believe. As you know, every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judah, in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they do not please God, and are not contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, having been taken away for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even our Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is your hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Woo! We'll come back to life lessons, but I just got to read this word. It is so good. Woo, Jesus, thank you, Lord. And it goes on to tell us, therefore, you better preach, apostle. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and send Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before, when we were with you, that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened, and you know. But this is the reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our affliction and distress, you were comforted concerning you by your we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Now, may our Lord and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you an abounding love to one another. what a word. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to read verse 12 one more time. Actually, I'm going to go back to verse 11. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Then it say it. Paul said it. Revelation said it. Jesus is coming back with all his angels. Come on now. Will you be ready? It's the question. Mighty word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Again, the apostle is preaching this morning. And it says this, Apostle Paul tells us this. Finally then, brothers, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. It's in the word, family. You know, you should abstain from sexual immorality. What, where you find it? It's in the word. That each of you should know how to process his own vessel who do not know God. When you know God, you got to do better. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testify, for God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God. Ooh, Lord, I love this word. To love one another. Is that not a word? Did Jesus say love your neighbor as you love yourself? And as Apostle said this morning, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brothers who are in all of Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business. In that word, it's in the word of God. So we're going to say it one more time. But we urge you, brothers, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. Got to mind your business. And that was to just mind your business. You know, little Ashley on Fresh Prince, I think that was a line from the Fresh Prince. Just mind your business. Just mind your business. We need to mind our own business and live a quiet life. You know, you ain't got to always be in the limelight. We need to learn how to be quiet and sit still. And it goes on to say, but I do not want ignorant brothers concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Been there, done that, been in the doldrums. Tell you, it is no place to go. That is not a place to go where you grieve so hard that you are almost lose hope. Not a place to be. Trust God that he will keep you out of the pit, that he will keep you out of hopelessness, that you will walk in light and you will not stumble and fall. But the word says in chapter 4, verse 14 of that First Thessalonians, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. If your loved one was saved, you know he sleeps in Jesus, and that he will rise again, that she will rise again, that they will rise again. But this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Jesus ain't coming back quiet. Jesus is not coming back quiet. What did it say? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Hear that? The dead in Christ will rise first. I know we like to say that our loved one is an angel. They are angel. No, they're not an angel. It doesn't work that way. Angels were created as angels. We were created as men. And we are spiritual beings. We are not angels. We will never be angels. I get white feathers on occasion. And I believe it's just a reminder from God that my angels watch over me. And the angels, my loved ones, may be watching over me too. But I have a guardian angel that I know watches over me. And my angel has been with me since I was a little girl. I felt no longer the same. And I'm still not. I know I'm different. But I'm different because I love God. And I know that he loves me. And that he's always with me. When I feel the Holy Spirit and that fresh wind that comes with him, it's something that just comes over me. Just as it does today. Because I know that the ones that have gone before me, that they love the Lord, part of his love and his grace in me and toward me. And I know that one day they will rise. They will rise to be with Christ. And then it tells us that when we are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I comfort you this morning with these words that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it together. For we know that one day we will be caught up. That we will be with the Lord. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Over some Thessalonian life lessons. And I just say today, keep God first. Don't get yourself so caught up that you get so heavenly minded that you forget to spend time in the company of other believers. We can mind our own business, sitting on that pew that God calls you to sit on, to lift up the name of Jesus in accord with others. That's why corporate prayer is so important. And I can speak this. I thank all of you who have been listening and have been praying for my father-in-law, because I can tell you now, he is doing so much better. No longer on oxygen. His oxygen levels are becoming normal. He's still on a feeding tube, but I tell you this, I'm believing God that he won't need that much longer either. That God is going to, I just believe in my heart that God's going to give him 100 years. Yeah, 4 more years, and I'm believing God for it. Thanking God that he will have grace and that his completion will be in those 4 years. I'm trusting God for it. I don't know why. I just felt it in my spirit. God's given him 4 more years. He's going to reach that 100th birthday. just like I believe Betty White's going to reach hers too, because God is in the midst and God is in charge. So we cover each and every one of our loved ones and thank God every day that they are here. And thank God even when they leave, especially when you know they were in Christ. And this is what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, life lesson. We were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. Understand, they wasn't being persecuted. So was Christians being set on fire as lampposts by Nero in Rome. It was not a good time. And it says it's the best place to find boldness, really. The only reliable place is in God. Boldness inspired by the Spirit cannot be quenched by suffering or conflict. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. We exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. And now Dr. Stanley tells us in this life lesson to his young Christian friends, Paul could not only act with the tenderness of a loving mother, but he could also act with the stronger and sterner attitude of a loving father. God acts in both ways toward us. He is our loving father. He is our stern father, and he's our loving mother. And understand, fathers can be loving too, and mothers can be stern. God is our absolute everything. He is our mother. He is our father. He is our TT. He is our uncle. He is our pawpaw. He is our granddaddy. He is our grandmama. He is our mister or our missus. He is our absolute. He is our everything. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, we wanted to come to you, even our Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. The opposition of Satan is real and can cause definite problems. Yet Paul knew that the might of Satan is no match for the greater power of God. God can turn even Satan's victories into blessings for his people. We are blessed beyond measure because we are children of God. One more time. God can turn even Satan's victories into blessings for his people. Don't give up on God, because God is definitely not going to give up on you. Hallelujah. And our next word in Thessalonians is from Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7. And Dr. Stanley says this in these life lessons. In all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. You know, apostles were speaking to people. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. There is little so comforting as seeing your believing friends and loved ones growing closer to the Lord, who might you be able to encourage right now through your own growing faith. Oh, hallelujah. Encourage each other. As you encourage yourself, encourage others in faith. Faith, that word that touches hearts, that touches minds, that touches spirit, that thing that we can hope for and not necessarily see. We got that. That's called faith. Our hope for eternal life with Jesus. That I will one day see his face. That I will one day sit at his throne and worship at his feet. That I will one day be able to sing before the Father, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, that he may establish our hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible very often connects holy living with the return of Christ. The second coming is not a doctrine to satisfy our curiosity, but a truth meant to inspire us to living wholeheartedly for God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, what a word this morning. Apostle has spoken and he has preached today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. We do not have to pray about whether it is God's will for us to get sexually involved with anyone who is not our spouse. You better preach it, Dr. Sam. Sexual intercourse outside of marriage always grieves the Holy Spirit. Don't be out there messing around with someone, not your husband or not your wife. Sexual intimacy is for marriage. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands. And Dr. Stanley says the Christian life is not a nonstop parade of miracles and astonishing answers to prayer and extraordinary visions and angelic visitations. Much of it is low-key, tame, and ordinary. Yet a godly life will always be celebrated in heaven. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. This amazing passage describes the moment when the Lord returns for his church, when those who are alive will go directly into his presence, and the dead in Christ will receive their glorified bodies. And if you go into the book of Revelation, it talks about them, those dressed in white. Come on now. I want to have my white robe one day. I want to see Jesus. We got to know. Oof, thanking God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And, you know, I'm going to go back over really quick to a word from our sister in Christ before we get out of here. I don't want to miss our sister Carolyn word this morning. And as always, our sister in Christ, he is from God. And I want to make sure that, you know, when we talk about Carolyn's gift, that she wants, that God gave it to her to help us, not to harm us, to give you hope in a wonderful day from God. And our word for yesterday was this: we are created to make someone else's life better. Someone needs your smile. They need your love and encouragement. Love on someone today. We're thanking God. We got to love on each other. And this is our word, and this is my word that I live by, Joshua 1:9. And it tells us in this word, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I say to you this morning, have a blessed Sunday. Have a wonderful, wonderful day in the Lord. And remember, all things work for our good, because we trust in the Lord. Keep trusting God today. And know that, keep that John 14:14 in your prayers as you pray for the missionaries. Because we're asking in Jesus' name, and we're believing with faith in Jesus' name that they will be brought safely back into their churches and where they need to go, that they will be released without ransom. Because God's going to vex those kidnapper spirits, that they ain't going to be able to sleep. They're going to wonder why they all messed up, because you touched God's anointed. Keep praising God, keep trusting God, and know that all things are from God and that we are his children. Thank you so much for listening in this morning. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. Be strong and courageous. And again, we say, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, family. Be blessed. It's a wrap.